As we've been progressing through the book of 1 Thessalonians, last time we were together, we saw that even though the Thessalonian church was a church full of love, and a church full of faith, yet Paul was encouraging them to grow more, go deeper. And I encourage all of us to go deeper with God. You haven't reached the bottom of the love of God. You haven't reached the width of it or the height of it. But you can go deeper with the Lord. And remember, as we saw this book, every chapter spoke about the coming of the Lord. And now he kind of comes out really almost with both barrels and says, now let's talk about this coming of the Lord. Let's talk a little more about it. Because the Apostle Paul said, through the sufferings that he went through, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now that's quite a statement for someone to make. And I've often been shocked at that statement that Paul made, because it's almost like, whoa, Paul, I mean, I'm happy to have Christ in this life. If there was no heaven, I think Andre Crouch wrote a song, if heaven was never promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, you came along and brought me the light. And I would, you know, say with Andre Crouch, you know, look, Paul, you know, even though it's true that they're suffering in trial, it's worth it having Jesus in my life, even if there was no heaven. But we have to understand what Paul went through. You have to understand the deep sufferings and trials that he experienced, constantly being whipped and beaten and arrested and everything else that he went through in his life. But Paul knew that there was a destination. He knew that there was some, we're on a journey. And there are times in our Christianity where it isn't all that pleasant. There are times in our walk with God where things are confusing. There are times when failure haunts us. There's times when we blow it big time. There's times when we struggle and we just don't know what's next. Preach it, sister. There are times when we're overwhelmed. And we can be like the Apostle Paul and said, I'm of all men most miserable. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever had those times when you feel, I'm of all men most miserable? And Paul felt that way at times. And so there is a sense, and you'll find it all woven through the New Testament. We need to remember that we're just passing through here. And that no matter how deep the trial is, there is a destination point. There is a place that we are going to. The coming of the Lord, or our gathering together to Him, whenever that happens, it is vital that we keep our eyes on the prize. That we understand that there are times when we'll feel like we're drowning. And there are times when we feel like we don't know if we can take another step. And there are times when temptation calls to us and says, be satisfied with the world around you. And yet, once you're a Christian, you can never be fully satisfied with the world and its ways. And so God's calling to us. But he says, listen, don't forget, there's a destination place. That we're on a journey. And that everything here is so very temporary in its nature that we do need to keep our eyes on the prize. And so he writes to the Thessalonians and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers. Concerning those who have fallen asleep. I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. He said, I don't want you to miss. And here is what he's talking about, because the Thessalonians were under persecution, and some of these were actually being put to death. And the question would rise for those as believers and say, well what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to my loved ones who've gone on? What happens now? I mean, for most of them, having either an atheistic or a beliefs that were all over the map, they wouldn't have a clue about what's after death, just like the rest of the world around us. We live in a pagan society, friends. They have no idea. Nobody knows, is what they say, when it comes to where you're going to go when you die. But we know the Word of God is very clear on it. And the Apostle Paul wanted to assure them that in the midst of the trials of life, and even in the loss of someone that they loved, that they weren't going to lose. That the ones that went before them, we're not going to miss out on anything. That's good. That's something to clap about. But he says to them, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to miss what happened to those who are fallen asleep. He says this, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And friends, I can tell you, the world sorrows as those who have no hope. They have these possible glimmers, possible ideas about what might be on the other side. And they come up with fanciful things, but they have no assurance in it. They have no peace in it. They have no rest in it. They just kind of carry on with some vague hope that something will work out on the other side. And all the while, God said, no, I want you to know that this is as concrete. Indeed, because of faith, it's even more concrete than the world that's around us. This world and everything that's in it is passing away. But we know that there is a kingdom, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved. There is a kingdom that we are expecting and looking forward to in every way. And so I don't want you to sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he puts that in the foundation of it. If we believe that Jesus died, if we believe that he rose again, because remember, that's the heart of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, according to the scriptures, on the third day he rose again. He says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. He says, you don't have to worry about them. They're coming back. They're coming with him. On the day that Jesus returns, he says, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. God will bring with them. You know, it's interesting that he uses this, that says that God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. But who is it that's returning? Jesus. You see, even in this passage, it tells us that Jesus is God. God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And so Christ himself will come. Now, we've already seen this in 1 Corinthians. We understand that the body sleeps, but the soul lives on. There's a lot of confusion sometimes with people. The Seventh-day Adventist group believe in soul sleep. They believe that when you die, you go to sleep. Body, soul, you have no consciousness until the resurrection at the last day. Is there anything in the Bible that says different to that?
Yes.
Where?
On the cross. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Thank you. Today you'll be with me in paradise, what he said to the dying thief. Is there any other verses?
I'm sure there is.
What's that?
I'm sure
there is. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 5? We were there not long ago. It says, when I'm absent from this body, I am present with the Lord. When I'm absent from this body, I'm present with the Lord. It's a good verse, isn't it? Pretty straightforward, right? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so the word sleep is used in connection to the body, but the soul is in the presence of God. But we have to understand, as glorious as heaven is, as glorious as it is to be in the presence of God, those who are in the presence of God now who have gone before are not yet complete. We were meant to be body, soul, and spirit, and so they will only be complete at the coming of the Lord. And so they're longing and still waiting for that day. Even the great promises, there'll be no sorrow, no suffering, no crying, no tears, for the former things have passed away and all things have become new. That is not in the present moment. That is at the end of the age. We use those verses as if that's the present moment, but we can actually get a glimpse into heaven, the book of Revelation, and find the souls of those who are slain beneath the altar of God and crying out, how long, O Lord, how long before justice is served on the earth? And so those promises, as true as they are, and don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean that those who are in the presence of God are not enjoying God.
No.
They are. They're not living in sin. Those trials are over. They are resting in that respect. They are resting in the arms of Christ in every way. I'm not saying they aren't living and enjoying great blessing, but they are not yet complete because we were meant to have a body and they don't have one yet. But at the resurrection, on the last day, it says, we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those that are asleep. It says, we're not going to get an advantage on them. We're not going to leave them behind. You may think, oh, well, remember, this was all new. Christianity was all new to them. We've been conditioned, and we know so much, even though we know so little sometimes, but we know so much compared to what these early Christians would have known because they had just lived in totally pagan cultures. We have a whole generation growing up in that now. But they would have said, well, if the Lord comes and takes us home, what's going to happen to all our ones who died? Where are they at? And he says, don't you worry, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. He says, this isn't going to be a silent affair. And I'm one, a person who does not believe that Christ is going to come and secretly take away his church. I don't think that's the case when I look at the Bible carefully. I believe that when the Lord comes, he comes with the voice of, with a shout. Is that silent to you? With the voice of an archangel. Does that sound silent to you? And how about with the trumpet of God? It's not silent, is it? That is a worldwide affair. I believe that. I believe when Christ comes, he comes at the end of the world and at the end of tribulation. And it says with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They will be the first to rise. They will be the first to be complete in every way. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. Great comfort. Comfort in knowing that Christ is coming. Comfort in knowing that at the end of all things, it's not the end of all things. It's really the beginning. Comfort in knowing that when loved ones pass away, that they rest in the arms of Jesus and that they will not come short in any way. They will not miss, but they will enjoy the fullness of the presence of Almighty God. It's a wonderful truth. And I praise the Lord that we have this assurance from God, that we have this blessing from the Lord to be able to have this hope. And now, what we want more than anything, of course, is to see people saved. Because when we see this passage, some of us may think, I could wish that some of my loved ones who have already gone on had their faith in Christ, had been saved by the glorious grace of God. But sometimes we don't know how it is with their souls. But I can tell you that should only encourage us all the more to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and share with our loved ones and encourage them that they need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Because as much as this is a great comfort here, as much as we see this glorious coming of the Lord, we go to chapter 5, and really don't forget the chapters were created by men. Really, this flows because it says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need that I should write to you. Concerning the times and the seasons of the coming of the Lord, for you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now, why does he use that term?
Unexpectedly.
Unexpectedly. That's right. If you knew that a robber was coming to your house, would you be ready? I suppose you would. You would be prepared if you knew he was coming. No thief sends a notice ahead to say, by the way, I'll be there tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Be sure to leave the window open for me. No, that's not what happens. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, just as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now, does he come as a thief in the night to Christians? Or does he come as a thief in the night to lost people? Or to both? Both? Okay. Anybody else?
It says that we should know.
What's that?
It says that we should know.
That we should know? Okay. Anybody else?
She said that we should be prepared.
We should be prepared. Let's see what the next verse says. But you brothers are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So he says, you shouldn't be in a position where this day overtakes you like a thief. Why? Because we are prepared. Because we are prepared. So what if Jesus comes tonight?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right. If you're saved and you have Christ, even so, as Paul would write, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, Maranatha, which means come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come. We ought to live as if Christ was coming back now. Because he could come for you tonight. Things can change so fast, friends. We have no idea. Before this night is out, I could be in the presence of God, praising and worshiping Him. All these cares of this world left behind. It could happen tonight. But to live as if He was coming any moment, to live as if heaven was really your destination place, to think in that way, to be like the Apostle Paul, who said, as using the things of this world, but not abusing them, not letting them capture your heart, not being tied up in the temporary, but fixed on the eternal, using the temporary for eternal purposes. That's the way we ought to live. And so he says, you brothers are not in darkness. Because remember what he says here, when they say peace and safety, he's talking about the unbelieving world. When they are so deluded to think peace and safety. And I'll tell you what, people today are even saying that, peace and safety. There are false counselors who are going to deathbeds of people and they're saying to them, peace and safety, peace and safety. But the reality is, for many, sudden destruction will come upon them. That's the reality. It's sad, but it's true that many are living in that kind of darkness that they do not see how blind they are. And so they're saying peace and safety, but there is no peace or safety without Jesus Christ. There is no peace and there is no safety at all, not without Him. But we are not in darkness so that day would overtake you as a thief. In other words, you're not one who ought to be surprised at the coming of Jesus Christ. We ought not to be surprised or alarmed that He would come. We are ready for Him. We're expecting Him. We're like the brides with the candles, the bridesmaids, right? They had their oil, their lamps lit and waiting and ready for the coming of the groom. Remember Jesus spoke about that and how some, you know, they let their oil go out. But there were others who were waiting and ready and expectant. May we be those expectant people living in the light of eternity. Our focus on where our destination is. Because if we are, then as we go through the trials of life, then as we go through all the circumstances that come against us, we have an anchor. We know where we're going. And we, whatever experience we have to go through in this world, we can say, this is temporary. The King is coming. The King is coming. Hallelujah. I thank God the King is coming. Praise you, Lord. We are all the sons of light. We are the sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. That's not who we are. And so Paul encourages them to live this way. Because don't sleep, he says, as others do. What does he mean by that? Does he mean go on as little possible sleep as possible?
Unaware.
What? Yeah. When a person is asleep, they don't know what's going on. A man who is asleep in his house and his house is on fire, what's likely to happen to him? He's likely to die right there. People who are asleep are impervious to the world around them. They don't have any idea what's going on. People who are asleep are dreaming of another land. They're living in a dream world. They're doing all kinds of neat stuff in their dreams. But there's no reality to it at all. It's not real. People who are asleep do not see the real world around them. They have nothing to do with the real world around them because they're impervious to it because they're asleep. And he uses this picture here of those who are asleep. Let us not sleep as others do. He uses this picture to speak about what it is. It's a great illustration, really, to talk about people who are lost. They are completely impervious to the things of God. I can tell you, I can be talking to people who are very much physically awake and mentally awake, but spiritually they are asleep. They are so asleep that they're dead. What's that? Yeah. When you're speaking to someone and it's just like they don't hear one word that you're saying. They don't have any comprehension at all. That's what happens when people are asleep. But we are not, let us not sleep as others do. We don't have to live in that way. God has woken you up. He's already awoke you from the dead. He's already given you this new life. And he's given you an expectation of his coming, an expectation of heaven, an expectation for those who believe in Jesus Christ. So let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. This is the picture that he gives of those who are lost in their sins and their minds are darkened. That term is used in the book of Romans chapter 1. Their foolish hearts are darkened. What a place to be in. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. He says, we are of the day. Let's live by faith. Let's live in the love of God. And they were all, this church was encouraged, wasn't it? This church was spoken of as highly filled with faith and love. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Protection for the mind. Oh my goodness, our minds need protection.
Yes.
Well, they do. You are going to find the greatest attacks on you will be between your ears. It is where the devil will work on you. It's where the devil will whisper in your ear. It's where he'll bring you to misery often. And yet we have the hope of salvation in Christ. Not an uncertain hope, but a sure and certain hope, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews. Because we know it hasn't yet happened, but we have this certain hope that Christ will come for us. The Bible says it's a sure and certain hope in Hebrews chapter 6, which is an anchor for the soul. That's a nice word, isn't it? An anchor for the soul. And so he says this, as we put on this breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation, we know that we are saved. We know that we have an eternal destination. We fix our eyes on the prize and we hold on. For God did not appoint us to wrath. He didn't appoint us to experience the wrath of Almighty God. Instead, to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't believe that that is an earthly wrath. Wrath happens, the wrath of the devil happens, but it's the wrath of Almighty God that abides on people. As John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Praise God. He hasn't appointed you to wrath. He has not appointed you to this who died for us, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we're awake or asleep, we should live together with him. That is, whether we're alive or dead, that we live together with him. You get the picture here? Here he's not talking about the sleep of sin, the sleep of imperviousness to God, but he says whether awake or asleep, we should live together with him. So comfort each other and build up one another, just as you are also doing. What a great encouragement this is to these Thessalonians. He says, listen, you don't have to worry about those who've died. They're okay. They're coming again. When Jesus comes, they're coming with him. And you don't have to live in the dark about the truths of Almighty God. You don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. But then he says, now I want to encourage you to live your life to the fullest for Jesus Christ. Live alive. While you're here, don't walk in the dark. Don't be spiritually asleep. It's almost like he plays a play on words here, because he speaks about those who are believing in Christ. That's a different kind of sleep. That's the sleep of death, yes, death from this world. But there's another kind of sleep. It's a spiritual sleep, and it's a dead sleep where lost people are dead to God. The Bible says you are dead in your trespasses and sins, but Jesus Christ made you alive. So hallelujah, Christ is coming. And in that coming, we have the wonderful assurance, the peace of God, the presence of God. And if we go through trial, which the Thessalonians were, if we go through deep trials, if even people lose their lives in the process. This morning, I've been going through the book of Philippians, and we looked this morning at the fellowship of his sufferings, that it is more worthwhile to count everything but loss and suffer for Jesus than it is to go for the good things of this world. That we embrace the fellowship of his sufferings, that we are willing to say, Lord, I am willing to suffer with you. I'm willing to suffer for you. And the sufferings and trials that I go through in this world, the Bible tells us our light affliction is just for a moment, but it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We don't lose, friends. Whatever trials, whatever circumstances, whatever comes our way, whatever attack we experience, we have these blessed promises that are ours in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage every one of us tonight, live for Jesus Christ. Be awake, be alert. Live as if Christ was coming back tonight. Live as if he's coming back at any moment. Live in that respect when sin comes and tempts you and realize the next 5 minutes I could be in eternity. Would it be worthwhile to do this? Would it be worthwhile to think in those directions? Let your mind be guarded. The Bible says to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought. Oh, it's the mind where everything stirs and happens. If we were to see that, and as where our minds begin to work in directions that are contrary to the will and the way of God, we need to understand that thought needs to be brought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we will be thinking in the dark instead of the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And I thank God tonight he is still the light of the world. And I praise God that light is still beaming and shining, and that we do not need to live in the dark, but in the glorious light of Jesus Christ. And so we have these promises. This is the encouragement that he gives in the light of walking in this dark world, and those who are sleeping in the night, and those who are drunk in the night, and those who are not living as sons of darkness. That day does not overtake us as a thief, because we're ready. Why are we ready? Because we're walking in the light. Because we're saying, Lord, have me. Oh, daily, hourly, surrender to Jesus, surrender to him, and find in him all that you need to carry you through these days and hours and the troubles and the trials, deep and dark as they can be, and know that there's always real light at the end of the tunnel. There always is with Jesus Christ. How encouraging is that? Praise God. I thank the Lord that someday the King is coming. Why don't we sing that song tonight? You can find it in there.
The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the business tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the King comes through the gates. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, he's coming for me. All the railroad cars are empty as they rattle down the tracks. In the newsroom, no one watches as machines type pointless facts. All the planes veer off their courses. No one sits at the controls. For the King of all the ages comes to claim eternal souls. Oh, the King is coming. Oh, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed, little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng, the flurry of God's trumpet spell the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now enfolding, heaven's grand stands all in place, heaven's choir is now assembled, start to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, he's coming for me. Praise God, he's coming.
Closing prayer for us, Luis.